Verse 38. This has been an amazing week, a very interesting week. Some of the things that have gone on this week have been amazing. God has been working in a lot of different ways, and it just left me standing there saying, wow, I can't, it's just been amazing. And so let me tell you a little bit about it. Tuesday afternoon, I was supposed to meet someone down at Starbucks at 5 o'clock. We were just supposed to have a cup of coffee and talk and so forth. And so I get there a few minutes early because I just usually, if I can, I always try to get somewhere a few minutes early. I got there a few minutes early, and I see a young lady there who is in her 20s, and she has two children with her, and I can tell that she has broken her foot. The reason I can tell that she has broken her foot is because she has it in this cast. And it's not a small cast. It's like, you know, I don't know. This is an exaggeration, but it looked like it was about that big. And I could tell that she was upset and so forth. And so I just kind of sit there, and I didn't say anything to her. But I sat, you know, left an empty space, and then I sat there and waited for the fellow that I was supposed to meet with. And in a few minutes, she's trying to make a telephone call, and her telephone is not working, so she asked me if she can borrow my phone to call the Salvation Army. And so I say, sure, and I give her my telephone. And then I could tell, you know, when you're sitting, you know, like 10 feet from somebody, you can't help, but I can't turn my ears off, you know. So she gives me the phone back, and I knew that she was not successful in this, and I say, well, excuse me, but you know, the only reason I know of for someone to call the Salvation Army is they're looking for a place to stay. And she says, that's right, I was looking for a place to stay. I said, you couldn't find a place, could you? I said, no, I couldn't find a place. So I said, well, let me see what I can do. And so I called Fred, who is our deacon. Our deacons take care of our benevolence fund. Today, you know, like every time we have a Lord's Supper, we receive an offering for the Benevolence Fund. And I know we have different things going on, the California Missions offering and our regular tithes and offerings. But you know, I just want you to know how these things work out. So, Fred says, okay, we can do that. So I called up, and I happened to know the manager of the motel. So we get a place for her to stay. And I found out that they haven't eaten. I asked them if they had gone to the upper room or knew about the upper room, and they hadn't eaten. So later, when I got finished, I went to Domino's, where they have a $7.99 carry-out pizza deal, and I got a pepperoni pizza and took it to them for dinner. And you know, everything just kind of worked out. Then later, I found out that, you know, I'm thinking, well, these two girls need to be in school, and different things need to happen. I found out that the school district was working with them, and they had some resources for them, and that the girls they did get in school, and everything worked out really well there. Now, this is a dire situation when you're basically single mom, homeless with two kids. It's not a good situation, period. But last week, things worked out. I don't know how things have continued to work out. I imagine it's still probably pretty tough. But I know that after we provided one night. I know another night was provided by someone else, and it continued on for a little while. And then an amazing thing happened. The person who does this kind of work with the school district called our church, and we've made a connection, and they want to meet and talk about helping people and how we can partner with them from time to time as the needs arise. And so that's a wonderful, God opening a wonderful door. And I was just sit back, and I was like amazed. When she handed me my phone back and said, no, I can't find a place to stay tonight, I almost cried because I said, I think I can help you. And sure enough, because you give and because of our church, we were able to help this young lady. That's an amazing thing. God, and I have sent this out to some of my prayer partners and so forth, And I said, you know, this is what happens when God arranges the schedule, when he's in charge. You know, I didn't have anything to do with that. I was just there. I never go to Starbucks for coffee, hardly. You know, it's like probably 5 times a year. You know, I know some folks might go 5 times a week. But now, there is another coffee shop in town. I do go there more often. But God just works things out. God, you know, and I think about this, and it goes along with today's sermon. Because today's sermon is, if Jesus had a purpose statement, or you could call it a mission statement or whatever, what was his purpose? Why did he come? What was he here to do? I remember when, I know a church that everybody was always late for Sunday school. They were always late. And they didn't have a set starting time. And one day somebody asked the pastor, well, why, you know, what time does Sunday school start? He says, well, we, you know, start gathering about 9:30 and 9:45. And then I start, you know, he taught the lesson, so Sunday school lesson. And he said, I teach the lesson, start about 10 o'clock or so. And so I asked him, well, why don't you start at, you know, why don't you start at the same time? He said, well, because if somebody's on their way here and they find somebody to minister to while they're coming, we want them to be able to minister to them and then come on to Sunday school. I thought that's an interesting idea. And you have to understand, this church was in the inner city. So everybody had to park somewhere and walk to the church. So they didn't want people saying, oh, I got to get to my class, got to get to my class. They wanted people, if they saw somebody in need, to stop and minister to them. And that's kind of the way Jesus was. You think about it. You know, he's even going to, because someone is sick and someone is dying and he's on a mission there. And he stopped because a woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And he stopped from where he was going and said, who touched me? And she was healed when she touched, but he stopped. And the disciples said, well, what are you, everybody, the crowd is pressing in. How can you say, who touched me? And the woman came, and he said to her, your faith has made you well. He stopped, and he took time. You know, he was traveling through, and the Bible says I love King James Version sometimes, he must needs go through Samaria. So he went through Samaria, and he stopped, and he sat down at a well, and he sent the disciples on ahead to buy food, and so forth. And then he had an amazing encounter with a woman at the well, and which led to her placing faith in him. What was his mission that day? To get to where he was going, to have food so he could minister to the people in that town, right? No, to minister to whoever he could. See, so if Jesus had a purpose statement, let's look at our scripture passage, John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. And he had been talking about being the bread of life just before that. So that gives you a little bit about the context of it. And he says, everyone who comes to me, I'll not cast out. And then in verse 38, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those that he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What was Jesus' purpose? What was his mission? If Jesus had a purpose statement, Jesus' mission is this: to do the will of God. And there are several places in the Bible where he clearly says, here's why I have come. And here in this passage of Scripture, he says, I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, there is a verse, and Jesus plainly says this. He says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Now, the phrase Son of Man, that was Jesus' favorite way to refer to him. And it goes back to the Old Testament. So when he says Son of Man, they immediately knew, and we can immediately know he's talking about the Christ, the Messiah, God's chosen one. He came, Jesus personally, to seek and to save the lost. That was why he came. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here's God of the universe. Here is God, and in other places the scripture tells us Jesus and God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all one, that everything was created by Jesus, everything was created through him. So he's the creator of the universe. He's come to earth, and he didn't come to earth for people to serve and worship him. He came to earth so that he could serve others, so that he could give his life for other people. You remember before he had the Lord's Supper with his disciples, before he observed the Passover with his disciples, what did he do? He washed their feet. And he even washed the feet of Judas, who was going to betray him. Now, that took a lot, I have to imagine. If someone was going to betray me, I'd probably tell them to go wash their own feet. But Jesus came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for me. He knew why he came. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says this. He says, "Truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything in his own, but he only does what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things." So Jesus said, I do what I see my Father in heaven doing. Jesus had said, the Father and I, we are one. Not just one in nature, but they were one in purpose, one in spirit, one in mind. So what God had on his heart, Jesus also had on his heart. So they're doing the same things. He's doing the will of his Father who is in heaven. Jesus' mission to do the will of his Father in heaven. So that brings us to the next point we need to consider, and that is God's will. What is God's will? And God's will is this. And we see in this passage of Scripture, it says, everyone who believes has eternal life. That's God's will. That's the way God set it up. That's the way God wants it. And there's several passages of Scripture that we could go to, many passages of Scripture actually that we could go to, which talk about this. One is in 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Peter writes, and he says, "The Lord does not delay his promise," as some understanding delay, talking about Jesus coming back again, talking about the end of the world. "The Lord does not delay," as some understand delay, "but is patient with you." Why? Because he's not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to have eternal life. But for everyone to come to repentance. Have you ever been like about to get in line, or you're in a hurry to get in line because maybe you're at the bank or the post office or some places that close at a certain time? You got to get that letter to the post office today, or you got to, you know, get to the bank, and you just hope that you're running on time, and you figure, well, as long as I get in line, I'm good. But if I don't make it in, they're going to lock the door at 5:00, and I'm out. Well, see, if that were the picture of waiting for people to come to accept Christ, you know, God says, oh, there's somebody in the parking lot, they're coming, I'm going to hold the door open a little bit longer for them. I'm going to wait. Now, he's not going to wait forever. See, because his will is that everybody comes to repentance. That means to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and have salvation. So he's patient in that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, "This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." You know, it's interesting being a pastor. Every now and then, somebody will say to me, well, I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if God cares about me. I don't know why God would want me. Well, he does. We could all ask ourselves the same thing. I don't know why God would want me, but he chose me. I don't know why he did, but he did. He wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. That's God's will. That's why he sent Jesus. So what did Jesus have to do to carry out his Father's will? That's the third point. What did Jesus have to do to carry out his Father's will? The answer is simple. It's the only blank you have on your paper today, because it is the biggest thing we could write down here. What did Jesus have to do? He had to die on the cross. That's what he had to do. That's why he came. If Jesus had a purpose statement, he came to not to be served, but to serve, to give his life, to provide a way of salvation, to open the door, to be the sacrifice, however you would want to say it, he had to die on the cross. When Jesus was praying in the garden before the crucifixion, he said this. He said in Luke 24, and it's recorded several places, but in Luke 24, 42, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me." In other words, this is a tough one, God. And you're my Father. I know you love me. If you are willing, let's let this pass. Let's do something else. But then he closes that prayer. He follows that very quickly up with, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And don't ever get the idea that it wasn't Jesus' will to go to the cross. He's talking here from his human side. You know, his human perspective says, this is hard. I'm about to die. I'm about to suffer. And I'm about to feel the weight of the sin of the whole world on me. And I've never felt any sin in my life because I've never sinned. And you think also he's going to be separated from his heavenly Father. And that had never happened before. So all of these things play into this. Let it pass from me. But what I really want is for your will to be done. And so he willingly went to the cross to die for us. That's amazing. That's why he came. That's our purpose and our mission too, because we belong to him. And we're carrying out. He has entrusted us with that mission, with the very same thing that he has done. So we have a purpose and a mission too, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do everything we can to see that every person we come in contact with, that they are safe, that they know Christ, give them every opportunity that we possibly can. So when we come today to observe the Lord's Supper, that's what we're observing. That's what we're remembering, what he has done for us. And it's also a reminder what he's done for others as we reach out to them. We are going to sing a hymn of commitment. Just hang on a second, Dennis. Just hang on a second. In the Scriptures, when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, when Jesus observed it, and then it became something that the disciples practiced regularly from then on, and Paul gave specific instructions concerning the Lord's Supper, and he said that whenever we come and we observe the Lord's Supper, we should do it in a manner that is worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy of the sacrifice that Christ has given. Now, how can we be worthy of that? We can't be. But we can partake in a worthy manner. How do we do that? By examining our heart and life, by confessing any unconfessed sin, by repenting of anything. So during our time of commitment, during this hymn of invitation, as you might call it, whether you come up front or not, that's okay. But use this time to spend time in reflection with God. Spend time speaking to him and let him speak to you. It might be good if during the singing of this, as we sing a couple of stanzas, if you just kind of dropped out of the singing, bow your head for a moment, close your eyes for a moment, and let God talk to you and show you if there's something you need to ask for forgiveness for. Or maybe just pause and say, "Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, for me." But let this be a very personal time, where we speak to God and we allow God to speak to us during this time. And we prepare our hearts. We ask him to look within our hearts and cleanse us so that we can come to the Lord's table. You know, when you go to a meal, you wash your hands. When we come to the Lord's table, we want to wash our hearts and have him look within.